headliner from last week, and I headlined tonight, Eric Hollaback, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Hollaback!
Wow, there's a competition going on. People are getting paid off. Bribes are going around. All right. There's a competition. Who's going to win? Call me Frederick. He's been on Terminator, NCIS, or Richard Dubas, who recently got Cox Internet, I heard. I heard he just got internet in his house. That's nice.
Good job, man.
Nice fucking shirt.
Thanks. Hasselhoff.
I don't know if I am. I've got questions.
So, wow. Tony Frederick was talking about the Syrian refugees earlier. You know, that's changing up the dating scene in New Orleans, right? Instead of buying a drink at an expensive place now to get laid, it's just a can of Alpo at the 99-cent store. You know what I mean? A warm bed? Honestly. Shooting fish in a barrel. Some of those Syrian refugees are pretty hot, so mind your P's and Q's, man.
I'm gay.
Nice. After you get out of your gay lady, after you get out of a relationship and it's like a bad breakup, do you buy a pocket pussy to like, you know, just tell a bad story to or something? Just bead mash, you know?
Yeah, that's what I do.
All right. I'm learning things. Any relationship that starts with shopping is pretty good for a lady, right?
Yeah, right.
So rude. That's so rude to say. I can't say. Are you recording right now? Please don't. Please don't. Please burn that phone.
You're this live on Periscope.
Oh, okay. is there a Syrian bombing in New Orleans? No, that's just my set at the joke. Okay. Story.
Well, that's depressing.
That's depressing? No, it was hot. I loved it. Are you sad? What's going on? You haven't had enough attention today?
No, I have a lot of attention.
Oh, I thought you were a lesbian.
I lied to you.
Yeah, I changed her around, man.
Wow, what a trickster. We'll just be a lesbian for attention? That's shocking. I think you're the first girl on Burnham Street to ever do that. You got a real uppity twat, do ya? It's really hard for you to come and shit. Wow. So magical. The miracle of life.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. I took that up this morning with my mimosas.
What do you guys, you look like a lovely couple. This is, oh wow. Here we go. This is
interesting.
What? They're not married? Oh, they're both their spouses are in other states right now? Different zip codes. Here's the ultimate test of a couple, right? So what do you think when he's away? What do you think he Googles? You know, if you're away, you know, what do you think he Googles on a computer to make the nap sauce come out, you know?
The nap sauce.
Got it.
He doesn't need to do that? You leave him. You make sure.
I got this.
You got this. Whoa, a confident lady. Give it up for him. She's giving him all the pussy, so.
You know it.
He doesn't have to look anywhere.
No way.
Whoa.
It's right now.
Oh, Jesus.
What she said about pussy.
God bless
you.
I took Father from Xanax and then my mimosas started.
Yeah, I didn't hear what you said.
I owe people never. And boo. We're having fun. This has been a fun show. Smoke Pot Worship Aliens. I've been Eric Hollaback. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollaback. With me, Allison Hotard. This is episode 145.
Congratulations.
Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Before the show started, I played some, I played 4 minutes of me doing crowd work at the Jazz Cafe. I think we met first at Johnny Rock Show in Metairie.
Yes, that is correct.
Legends Encore.
Yes.
We always talk smack because it's a competition
show. Right, it's a competition show, and it's talking smack is good.
Yeah, there's three judges,
right.
And we both want to fucking win,
right.
And we both want to fucking headline.
Right,
so
exactly.
So we started just being like, trying to psych each other out.
Right,
what,
exactly.
Oh, you think you got some fucking jokes today?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to headline
for
$50.
I haven't seen them yet.
I know, I just did crowd work.
Jeez, just crowd work.
But you got a lot of things going on right now. December 11th,
yes.
You are going to be at the Joy Theater.
I am. I'm going to be at the Joy Theater. Matt Owens is the headliner. We have a lot of great New Orleans comics that are also going to be there. I'm really excited and very, very happy to be doing the show.
Yeah, Stand Up NOLA is
what it's called.
Is that Matt Owens's thing, or what
is
Stand Up
NOLA? I think it's the Joy's thing. I think that's the Joy, because that's the only time I've seen that in...
So the Joy wants to say, hey, this is local comics.
Right, exactly.
Right, right. Try
exactly.
to step up to the
yes.
next level. We're going to support them.
Right.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, how long have you been doing comedy? This is like a pretty culmination moment for
yes,
you.
Yes, I have been doing comedy a year and a half now.
Whoa.
Yeah, it all happened very fast for me. I took a class with Jody Barella, and right after that, I just took off. I thought I was just going to take the class, graduate, and
so the
that
class was,
it.
Was a stand-up class?
It was a stand-up class.
And where was that at?
At the Castle Theater in Kenner. And Jody
okay.
Barella, who's a local comic, teaches the class, and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. Jody has headlined for Jerry Seinfeld. Opened for Jerry Seinfeld. Recently, Lara the Cable Guy. She's amazing. She does shows in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great mentor, and I'm very lucky to have her. Jody asked me to be part of what was a group called the Three Charmers. I replaced Amanda Hebert, so I go around Louisiana and we do comedy about New Orleans, Louisiana, and everything. And I do it with Jody Barella and the legendary Becky Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very fortunate to be on the stage with those two women so early on in my career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive. How long are you doing? Like 10 minutes at the
Yes, I generally do 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then at the very beginning of it, Jody, Becky, and I kind of do like improv a little bit at the very beginning, and that's about 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I see you out all the time.
Yes.
Did stand-up, what was missing in your life that like stand-up filled? You know what I mean?
Honestly, I recently quit drinking.
Yeah.
And I needed...
You needed a replacement
yeah,
addiction?
Yeah, I needed a replacement addiction.
Yeah.
And I found stand-up. And actually, stand-up found me at the same time. And I never... When I did stand-up, I never drank. I always performed sober before I quit drinking. So it was just an easier way because I never wanted to be drunk on stage. So I come to bars and I do shows at bars, but I just don't drink because I want to be sober. It helps me actually stay
yeah.
sober.
Because now you're motivated. Like,
right.
I don't want to be all shit-faced and embarrass myself.
Exactly.
Like Eric Hollerbach does.
Exactly.
One out of six shows.
yeah.
I get too drunk and I embarrass myself.
Yeah.
You have an alter ego.
I do. I do have an alter ego. Her name is Fancy. Fancy came about in college. I got rip-roaring drunk and got a concussion at Razoo's. I was rolled out of Razoo's on a stretcher. And NOPD called my parents, and my dad said...
So did you fall off a stool and crack your head,
no.
or what happened?
I went to go to the bathroom, and I pulled out my pants and tipped over and hit the bathroom wall stall. And got a concussion.
So as you were getting your feet out of your pants,
yes.
you just stepped on your pants, which teetered your body
yep,
over.
Exactly.
And cracked your
And cracked
face.
My head on the marble stall.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes. And so they rolled me out. And I was doing fine. I was making everyone laugh. And then my dad showed up, and I started, like, bawling, crying. And the doctor's like, what's wrong? You know, does something hurt? I'm like, my daddy's here.
My pride hurts.
Yeah, my pride.
he sees me all sloshed.
Yeah, right. And that was just the beginning of my drinking career.
Oh, okay. So that was day one of drinking?
Pretty much. Yeah, that was the
What an entrance into alcohol.
Basically. I mean, I had been drinking, but that was just the beginning of many, many more stories to come.
Right. So how long have you been sober now?
I've been sober 7 months.
Okay, so the first 6 months or so...
Nine months,
or that you were drinking while you're performing. And was there one show that just went so bad and you just were like, that was because I was on alcohol?
No, because I always did my shows sober. It was my life outside of comedy, and I drank too much, and I got in a lot of trouble with NOPD. And
it's hard to get in trouble with them. They're kind of lazy.
I caused a big ruckus, and I'm very Catholic, so I called them on myself, and I'm like, oh, you need to come get this little girl. She's out of control.
Called the police on yourself.
I'm like, you need to come get this little girl. She's out of control. And the cops loved me, of course. They were laughing with me too, just like the doctors.
Sure.
You know, I was telling them all about how I do comedy and how this is going to be great for comedy. But they still sent me to OPP, which was not great at all and sobered me the hell up.
What is Orleans Parish Prison?
Well, it's you go to like a holding area before you go to OPP. So I was in the holding area before.
And what kind of criminals were in there with you?
I mean, all kinds.
Did any of those people call cops on themselves?
No, they all told me I was stupid.
You want to be here?
Yeah.
I stabbed somebody.
Yeah, right. It was great. And that was the day we had really bad weather and the lights went out. So the lights went out there and, I was like, I'm never doing this
again.
So
who is Fancy, though? We're touching the subject.
Fancy is my alter ego. She does and says and all kinds of shit I would never do sober.
Mm-hmm.
From really bad karaoke to hooking up with really bad boys. I got in trouble Fancy got in trouble at the gold mine. I got kicked out of the gold mine.
that's a gay bar, yeah.
No, the gold mine is a late night bar that everybody goes to after, like right off Bourbon and dance the night away.
Okay.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble there.
So
I got
how
kicked
did
out.
Fancy...
They carried me out.
Concussed.
Cussing at the bartender.
Yeah. So the bartender wasn't serving you fast enough, or?
Well, I was putting my drinks on other people's tabs, and I got caught.
Okay. Well, Fancy would do that.
Yeah, Fancy would
she
do
would
that.
Go,
she's
yeah,
a cheap
I know these
bitch.
People.
Yeah, she's a cheap bitch.
Right, and then they realized Fancy did have a payment.
Plan. Right. Yeah, every time, they realized it after some guy was like, we don't know who she is.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I got busted. it was good for a while, though.
Did you get always in trouble with the NOPD because of theft, or did you,
no.
What was...
Different that, reasons.
Different. It's always a different story.
Always a different story.
So what other things did the NOPD start to crack down on Trixie for?
Fancy, not
Fancy,
Trixie.
I'm sorry. Fancy.
Let's see, what was another good story? There was a lakefront story, which I won't tell, and still to this day won't ever tell. But there was a lakefront story right after Katrina when it was closed down that Fancy got in trouble for.
She was drinking all through
she
Katrina.
She was all, yeah. Oh, it was bad, all that Katrina money. Woo.
You got Katrina money.
Well, yeah, I was living in New Orleans.
Oh, so everyone who had to relocate got, how much money did they get from the government to
relocate? Each person, I think, got different amounts.
Depending on
depending on your situation, right.
They're basically reimbursing you for the evacuation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
You also have a show at Cafe Istanbul that you did, Lost Love Letters. Do
yes.
you run that?
No. There's two great people, Elizabeth Davis and Chaz, and I can't remember his last name. And I'm gonna pull that up while we talk. they run the show. Mm-hmm. And what it is that you read your diary of at 17 years old of lost loves that you've had. And it's really eye-opening because it made me realize I still choose the same shitty men that I did at 17. And this was about a boy, and our first week we dated, and how he almost got me suspended from Catholic school. And it was a great time, and the great C.J. Hunt, who we both have worked with also, he was the host of the show that night. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of fun and a lot of laughs, and I'm not from New Orleans. I'm originally from a small town called Vacherie, Louisiana, so I do a lot of my stuff in my Cajun accent. And I basically, Schultzer is the other guy.
So tell me about this person. How did he get you kicked out of, almost get you kicked out of school?
So when you go to a Catholic school, the rule is once you get in the dance, you can't leave. Well, he told me that his grandpa was sick and he had to go. So the dean told him, I'm going to get your grandpa's name, and if he's not at the hospital, which is like one hospital, you know, it's a small town, Allison's going to be suspended because we know you're lying. And sure enough, his grandpa was not at the hospital. So I went the next day to work on a school project, and he called my house. And my dad told him that we knew his grandpa wasn't at the hospital, and my dad actually drove to his house. And he's like, I want to know the truth, because he just, like, chewed out my dad. So my dad drove to his house, and my dad was like, tell me the truth, what's going on. He said, my grandpa wasn't in, I just wanted to leave. And my dad was like, well, if you ever come near Allison again, you're going to regret it. And then the Monday morning, I got called to the dean's office, and she said that if I would have left with him, I would have gotten suspended. But because I didn't leave with him, I didn't get suspended.
Okay, so yeah, I was even confused, like, why that would reflect on you.
It's just bad choices in men.
Yeah.
Always my trouble spot.
Fancy.
Yeah.
So you just got back from New York City.
I did the
Jay Thomas show on the Howard Stern channel. How was that?
That was a lot of fun. That is my fifth time now on the Jay Thomas show. I've performed... Or maybe my fourth time. I've done 3 guest spots. And then I did the live show that he did in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And it's always a good time. And he asked me, you know, just to tell him about being from Louisiana. And, he's, you know, it's just a lot of fun. And we just comment and joke and laugh. Mm-hmm. So.
That's pretty exciting, you know?
Yes.
I just want to, you seem to really love New Orleans. You posted this to Facebook, from a crab boil to a second line. Please tell me there's a better state to live in.
Right.
Seems like you're having fun here.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm born and raised in Louisiana. I think that this is the best state on earth.
Yeah.
I've been all over the United States and I have yet to find a better place.
What is it about the people? Do they have a certain openness?
Absolutely.
Are they friendly and they're...
Yes.
They have a passion for life.
They have
stuff.
A passion for life that nowhere else has. I mean, you can't find better people around here.
Right.
And, I mean, every now and again you're going to run into people who aren't nice, but they need to leave. Like mm-hmm. that sign says, be nice or leave. Mm-hmm. From Dr. Bob.
I think a lot of bars...
have it around.
And they've kicked Fancy out a few times, too, because she breaks that rule.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That is exactly the truth.
Is it comforting to have an alter ego to lay blame onto?
Yes,
so that
absolutely.
You have a cognitive dissonance from your behavior?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you miss Fancy now that you've been sober?
Do I miss Fancy?
Is there a part of yourself that, you know...
Yeah, of course. I mean, because it was a part of my time where I was a little bit more carefree. And some of the shit was a lot of fun. I mean...
Yeah.
You know,
being a drunk degenerate, you get some good stories.
Yeah, you get some good stories.
And it also just
you get a lot of laughs.
Shakes you up, you know.
Yeah, but I'm getting too old. You know, I have a super busy life.
Right.
So I can't be a complete hot mess and successful all in the same time anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. so.
It is hard to find that balance of, like...
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, I always say this all the time, like, stand-up comedy could be like college. Like, all the open mics could be your classes, and you could do all your homework, and then you're going to get an A in stand-up, right? But then it's also always at a bar. So then it's like, it's also kind of a party. And when you are making a party happen, it's hard to be so sober and serious all the time, you know? And so it's like, do I have two drinks, enjoy myself, but then the show's a little worse, or my timing is off? It's a constant battle.
It's a constant battle, yeah.
So you posted an article on Facebook also about get paid to go to weddings.
Yes.
And a woman has made $1,000 a day as a professional bridesmaid.
Yes. I posted that because I have been a bridesmaid 11 times.
Whoa.
And they, you know, Louisiana is small, and there happened to be this one photographer that was at a lot of weddings. And so I walked up to him and I was like, dude, you're going to have to start paying for my face. I was like, because this is getting a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, you get my face for free. That's not fair.
Right.
And so then it just became a joke between me and all my friends. They were like, oh, you got another wedding again.
So what are the duties exactly of a bridesmaid?
Oh, man. It could be from holding up a dress while the bride pees, to making sure that the bachelorette party is fun.
Sure.
To going set up for a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Take down all the shit for a shower. Pay for everything.
Yeah.
You know, just depends on how the bride is, really.
Right. Now, it seemed like when I was reading the article that this lady who started doing this, her name is Gantz.
Mm-hmm.
Gantz. She got this racket going where she's a bridesmaid at all these brides.
Right.
And she's like event planning and stuff like this.
Right.
It kind of makes me sad because, you know, it seems like the reason why her service is required is because some women, when they're getting married, are such a fucking horror that, like, to be the best friend of that person, where it's like a high-pressure situation.
Right.
She's like, I'm getting sold at auction at this, you know, so I want it to be fancy.
Right.
And so, I'll only get one wedding, hopefully.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like,
you know,
don't be if your best friend leaves her duties as a bridesmaid, what does that say about the marriage?
You know, honestly, no. Because I think of it as, if you're paying this woman to do this, then you're guaranteed success. And you're guaranteed to get what you want. You're not guaranteed to get what you want if you have your friends helping.
Right.
I'm an event planner by day. That's what I do for my living. And, man, it is stressful as hell. And so you want a good product, pay for a good product.
Right. Well, I understand event planning, but the best friend
post. Yeah, that's, you know, some people aren't as awesome as me and have a... can be an 11 wedding. Some people aren't as outgoing. Some people don't have as many friends. And that's just the truth about life. I mean, Kevin Hart made a movie about it. You know, The Best Man. Like, obviously.
I didn't see that movie.
Yeah, obviously, it's not just women. Men have to do it too, you know? And when you're focusing on your career, sometimes things get left by the wayside.
Yeah, but it's like if I had to pay somebody to be my best man... To hold up the fucking tails of my tuxedo while I took a shit.
Who would be your best man if you got married tomorrow?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a lot of candidates. It's very hard. Because I'm very close with a lot of my friends.
Right.
That's a very tough choice.
You know? Start thinking about it now, and then you're going to want to pay for somebody because you don't want to piss everybody else off.
Yeah. You know, my sister made me her best man, so I'd probably have to make my sister.
That's
just
a great
to like
idea.
All my dude friends, it's like, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's a great idea.
Make it like you weren't even in the running because my sister.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
but that's probably a cop out.
It is a total cop out. I'll tell you the candidates, like, you know, I got a butt like my buddy Jeff Reeves from high school, my buddy Anthony Garino, my buddy Devin Murphy, you know, there's a lot of candidates. You know, but it's like to pick one over the other is
weird. That is true. I totally agree.
That's
with
why
you.
People get fired from being the bride.
Yeah, exactly.
And they want to pay somebody.
Exactly.
But yeah, I guess my point was it just spoke, like, if you're being such a picky whore, like she said, the reason why she did this is because bridesmaids would get into the throes, they would start helping,
yeah.
and then the bride would fucking chase them away.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I get that. I mean, I've been fortunate enough, knock on wood, that I haven't had a bride like that. So, I don't know.
In all the 11 times
I haven't had a bride.
Not one of them was like, really, who was the most high maintenance, though? Name names here.
Name names of the most high maintenance. If it was the most high maintenance, it was just a lot of parties, I think, that you have to attend.
Right.
That's when it gets kind of stressful, when you have to manage all the parties. So, and I've walked, and so now they all kind of blend together, to be honest with you.
So
don't tell the brides that. That's the off the record. Every wedding is special.
Yeah, I know. It is like people fly in, they do this thing, they go to the wedding, they're already tired, then it's like you have to go to this thing. And then, Fancy tries to make some rando pay the
Fancy,
bar tab.
Right.
Fancy for her whole wedding
has
party.
Tried to kidnap a groomsman, told off the mother of the bride because they wouldn't play riding dirty. You know, the story, this is a great story, and it's pretty clean, I could tell on your podcast. The DJ asked for a request, and so Fancy went up and said she wanted to hear Riding Dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And the DJ told her no. And so then she screamed at the DJ, why ask for a request if you can't fulfill that?
Right.
And then...
it's like, what do you want on your ice cream?
Right.
Hot fudge. We're out.
Yeah,
sprinkles,
exactly.
We're out.
Exactly. I mean, and then my aunt, the mother of the bride, because when you're single, everybody wants you to, like, be flirting with someone, be, like, wanting to be in a relationship. And she's like, I saw you flirting with the DJ. And I was like, I was telling him he sucked.
Yeah.
And right around that time, my dad turned the corner and heard that and grabbed me. And I get carried off a lot, apparently. So my dad kind of carried me off.
He picked you up.
Yeah.
Your face hit the bar
right.
stool. You were out.
And he was like, this is enough. This is enough, Fancy.
So you tried to kidnap a groomsman?
Yeah, I brought him. It was boring in the wedding, so I brought him to the bar. To have, you know, like, because I didn't like the wedding. It was boring. And then, again, I got in trouble with my dad. Because my dad was like, you're missing all the photos and all this other stuff. And
right.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The photographer have to pay for
right,
this mug
exactly,
if they wanted
exactly.
Mug.
He could superimpose me from the other sister's wedding.
Just do one in front of a green
right,
screen.
Exactly.
And be like, that's the fucking
that's
picture.
And done.
Where you want.
Done.
So you were trying to get this groomsman's D, right? And so you kidnapped
digits,
him?
Digits, yes. I was trying to get his digits.
You kidnapped him to the bar?
Yeah, the hotel bar.
You were sitting on his lap and stuff?
How flirty
was Fancy?
Yeah, I was pretty flirty until I got in a fight with another patron of the bar.
Whoa.
It was just a verbal thing. And so then they asked me to leave. Fancy to leave.
Man. What did you... Not you. That had nothing to do with
not
you.
Not me. Fancy.
So what started this fight where you got kicked out? What is it? Don't remember.
I have no idea.
That happened to Fancy, so you have no recollection.
Right. Exactly. And it was years ago. You know how many times?
Yeah, yeah. How many concussions
right,
happened
right, exactly.
Then?
Jeez.
So your Facebook, I mean, we've talked about this before, but your feed is just like lined with shows. You're here, then you're here, then you're here, then you're here. What motivates you? Like, what is it? Because, you know.
Money and men, that's what motivates me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to get, like, a stand-up special so that, like, you can just fly to Copacabana, pick up a bunch of Cabana boys.
Yeah.
Flying back here and just have them fan you all the time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I really want my life to be like.
What kind of filthy acts specifically would you like them to perform on you?
You know...
What is your, like, ideal situation? Would you have, like, one... husband, or would you have like a whole farm of cabana boys to treat you?
No, ultimately, I mean, ultimately, I would like to have one person in my life. That's not how my life has worked out. And I roll with the punches. But you know, ultimately, you just want that one person, like everyone does, I guess. But it's not like, oh, it's not like I wake up every morning being like, oh man, where's the man of my dreams? Like, like I told my friend Gina, I'm like, I don't have time to wash my underwear right now. I got so much shit going on. I just have to go buy new ones. You know, like, I don't have time
sometimes
to go.
Sometimes you gotta go commando.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Walgreens sells underwear too. Did you know that?
In a pack?
Yeah, in a pack.
Like, no, they just staple it to your hand when you buy it.
Oh, my, it was so embarrassing to buy it at Walgreens, though.
Oh, yeah, because they know.
They know. It's not like Walmart where you can put a shirt over it.
Or it's like, hey, you're just shopping.
Right,
it's like
exactly.
When you're at Walgreens at 2 a.m., you don't have underwear.
Right, exactly. And then, like, there was, like, this weird man, like, breathing down my neck. It was intense.
He's like, where are the panties that I'm missing now?
Right.
What do they smell like?
Yeah, exactly. I had to just give them one from the pack and be like, here you go.
Yeah. Or just also buy a can of Raid so they think like, oh, well, you also have an infestation, so there's a lot going on.
Lots going
just
on.
Just like a smoke
always,
screen.
Always stuff going on about me. I'm
so
never
where,
in
where are you from in Louisiana?
I'm from a very small town outside of New Orleans called Vashri, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. It's actually north of New Orleans, on the West Bank. My dad is 100% Cajun, spoke Cajun French his whole life, had to go to school to learn English. My mom, her family's also French, Cajun, and I just, you know, had a very simple childhood growing up by the cane fields.
So, and you speak Creole French, too?
I do not. I understand French. And it's Cajun. Creole and Cajun are two different Frenches.
Okay.
I know it's very weird.
Yeah,
very weird.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I know that there is a difference.
So it's Creole French and Cajun French.
Right.
And can they understand each other?
Yeah, you can basically, but like, and even like regular French, you can understand.
Yeah. It's just like there's Quebecois,
right,
which
it's
I think
just
is
accents.
More like...
yes, it's more of an accent type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you kind of have to work a little bit to...
Yeah.
You know, it took me until like the second disc of the British Office to understand what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who's getting wound up? I don't know
is. I don't know what's happening. Subtitles.
Yeah, so what's the plan for you? Like, how many minutes do you have right now? Are you thinking in terms of, okay, when I get my hour, then I'm going to record this thing? Like, what as far as, like, stand-up goes, surely this Joy Theater show, December 11th, is kind of like a big mile marker in your
absolutely.
Like, career, right?
Absolutely.
So where is it now, and where is it going in the future, you think?
You know what? I have to be honest with you, and this is just how I roll in life. I don't make plans because it's not that I don't want anything to happen, but man, my life has worked out better than what I could have expected.
Yeah.
And like with comedy, I only thought I was going to do that one class, and I just kept getting asked to do shows. Yeah. And that's kind of how I'm going to go with this. I'm going to sell the shit out of the Joy. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to kill it. And if people like me and keep wanting me to come back, I'm going to do it. If all of a sudden my wave crashes on the beach and I have to get off and take a boat somewhere else, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah. So you said that you had a mentor. What was her name again?
Jody Barella.
So what did Jody tell you? Was there like something that she unlocked a switch in your head where you're like, oh, now I'm obsessed with this for the rest of my life? You know,
no.
Like, what was that thing?
No.
Was it her energy?
Energy. Jody is amazing. Her energy and her support, basically, of you can do this, you're so funny. You know, and not just Jody, everyone that keeps coming see me.
Yeah.
I mean, I have people that know that I do comedy that I didn't even know knew that I did comedy.
Right.
And really, I had a Harris Casino show with Jody and Becky and Gino Gomez. That was in March of this year. It was 300 people in an audience. I had 100 people come see me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only doing what everybody's asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people say, you suck, get off the stage, I'm going to get off the stage. You know, but I'm going to go do something else, too. And that's how I've been with my regular career. I'm very successful, thank God, in what I do as my day job because, I have a lifestyle that I like to live. And sure. I need money, you know.
Right. You need rent.
Right.
You need to live in a place.
Right, exactly. I need a car.
That's not under the Claiborne Bridge.
Right. And I'm really good at my job, and I've excelled in.
So you event plan for, like, conventions?
No, I work for Loyola University here in New Orleans. I run their Law Alumni Association, so I do events for the Law Alumni Association, and then I fundraise for them also.
Mm-hmm.
So I meet with donors, I ask for money, and I do a lot of stuff.
Does it ever get tough where, like,
you, oh, it's
you
always
beat
tough.
People with
absolutely.
A bat?
No,
break,
no, no.
Break kneecaps and, like,
both,
the fucking money?
Both of my jobs are about meeting people's expectations. And that's really hard to do, meeting other people's expectations. So you set your bar really low so it looks like you're awesome every time.
You just tell your boss, like, this
right.
is real tough.
This is going to shit.
Yeah,
this is going to suck like shit, and then it doesn't.
And then any success
success is amazing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's a good...
it's a life value.
So
what
in this class, I think some people are skeptical of stand-up classes because... You know, ultimately, stand-up is like a journey of finding your own voice and only you could do... Like, you know, so how can someone teach you to be more like you?
No,
but then again,
it's not like that.
I took UCB classes, so, I understand it's beneficial.
I mean, it's like how to set up a joke.
Right.
You know, like, stuff that you didn't know, like the threes, you know, like, that you need to do things in threes. And then, like, a callback. And they just help you... reach all those points. They're like, oh, this is good, but I bet you if you brought it back to this point in your story,
right.
it would get more laughs.
Yeah.
Whereas something, it's kind of like working in a group. You get ideas, it's your idea, but your group makes it better.
Yeah. And then the callback, if you add a joke that works in one setting, then it's like, oh, maybe I can just bring it back here. Like, I have this bit that I do saying that I keep a boner diary. Every time I get a boner, I write it down.
Yeah.
And then later on, I was like, bombing.
Do you have a boner right now?
Well, it's about a, it's always, there's always
Is
something.
It like a 5 or like a 6?
It's like a 3. It's a prairie dog just kind of like poking its head out over the hole.
Okay.
You know?
Then I obviously am not doing a good enough job.
Well, this is a very stimulating conversation.
Oh, good.
Maybe
I'm
if
glad.
We had less clothing on, we'd start to turn it around.
There you go.
But then later on, I went, like, I did a joke that didn't work, and then I was like, bombing, half a boner. Like, you know what I mean? So I just called it back to, like, bombing gives me an erection.
Yeah.
It's like, you try to put yourself in a no-lose scenario.
Absolutely. Like, and you, I mean, every time you get on stage, you grow.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. I'm also realizing more and more that material is important, but kind of like confidence is more important.
Absolutely. I think, and I will say this to anyone, and I tell this to my cousin a lot, I was like, the only thing that matters that a woman wears is confidence.
Yeah.
Because she can wear a dress that doesn't look good, but if she is confident about that dress and believes in it, she's going to do great that night.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have confidence in yourself, or you're just not going to sell.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I got to... It's just like, you have to... The audience will smell fear before you even know
Absolutely.
You're afraid.
Yes.
You know? So if they are like, oh, this leader of the social environment right now
right.
is not sure if his story's going
right.
to pan out, that is all they get. It does not matter what you say.
Absolutely.
But then if you're just like, blah, 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 and you're telling a kind of a shit story, but you have so much energy, it almost
right.
kind of works out. So
yeah.
it's like stage presence. Like, you can get away with anything if you just do it like you're the... Like
you're the boss, man.
Yeah,
you got to
exactly.
walk in and you got to be the boss.
Yeah. If you're profoundly ignorant but have confidence, that's charming.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm I always have like little breakthroughs. Do you know what I mean? Like I had this thing like 2 weeks ago where I bombed like 3 shows in a row.
Yeah, I heard that about you.
Here was one of them. Siberia was the other. And then I think I ate another bag of shit at fucking Legends.
Yeah.
And then I just was like, oh, Jesus. And if you're hearing about it, yeah, believe me, those were rough shows. Like, yeah, did you see Hollywood
bomb? Bomb like 3 shows in a row.
Yeah. This is getting embarrassing.
Yeah.
So someone should knock him out and drag him out.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, it's just like this thing of giving a fuck kind of like evaporated. And ever since then, I haven't had a bad show.
Right.
But it's this, almost in your own head, you like,
absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
What do you remember any like gains that you made from adversity?
Oh, yeah, I wake up every morning. for your people that listen to your podcast that have not seen me Google what I look like, I'm 4'8", 4'9", if I stretch, and I have short arms. And but probably listening to me right now, you wouldn't know that is my stature. In my own head, I'm like a massive like man.
Right.
You know, and I fucking own every room I walk into.
Yeah.
And that's
you
what
just
I portray.
Take your belt off.
Right.
You drop the buckle.
Right.
It makes a huge noise.
Right.
Everyone looks over.
And honestly, I'm probably the biggest douche I know, and I know a lot of douches.
What do you mean by that?
My attitude and my the way I carry myself is I'm confident in who I am.
Right.
Maybe that's not a douche thing.
Not at all.
Because I'm not mean at all.
You
got really
a very fun personality.
Yeah, and
you
I'm a lot of fun.
Yourself.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, you... adversity is what has gotten me so far in my life.
Yeah.
It's gotten me to where I am because people said, oh, you can't do this. You don't... You know, you got this. You got that. You'll never do this. And I'm like, fuck you, I will. And I have.
Yeah. So, was there any shows that you bombed, or was there an audience that taught you something because they were shouting the whole time, or you know, like what was the hardest show that you like learned from?
I bombed pretty bad a couple weeks in Lockport. And that was surprising to me because normally the crowd really likes me. But I knew my energy was bad because I had been working a lot.
Yeah.
And I didn't put in as much practice as what I needed. And I wasn't as comfortable as what I was because I'd worked a ton on my day job. And I actually had left work and went straight to Lockport. You know, I'm still in my outfit from work. And I was just exhausted, and I think that it was my energy.
Yeah.
You have to be confident in yourself.
So if you're stressed, yeah, you know, if I show up late to a show and I'm like, oh, I didn't get on the list in time, I didn't do this or that. Okay, yeah, let's do the show and then pick up after.
Yeah.
Whoa. We just did the show?
We did. It was great.
Jet's Brewery, the upstairs, is one of the best venues in town. It
absolutely.
Is pretty spectacular upstairs.
Absolutely. It's a great upstairs. I've actually been to, there's a third floor where you do private parties.
What? Oh, that catwalk thing up there? Yeah,
I've been up there for a private party one time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because you're like a party planner and you like special access?
No, I actually got invited to something this time. I know, that one time. It was nice.
Fancy didn't just be like, oh, this is an open bar? Yeah,
right,
let's do that.
Right, no. No, Fancy got invited.
To a wedding?
No, it was a party. It was a birthday party.
Yeah.
I was dating a guy, though, and it was his friends. Mm-hmm. We're no longer dating. Fancy broke that up pretty fast. She did not like to be tied down.
Right.
At all.
Right.
So she took that and ruined it.
Right.
It was a lot of fun cleaning up that mess.
So
but
Allison
his mom
was
still
all,
loves me.
Okay, so Allison was into the relationship.
Yes.
But then Fancy was
Fancy
cannot
hated being tamed.
Right.
Oh, it was a mess.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So we just did, I'm working on some new stuff.
Yeah, so am I.
We both were tripping up on a few little things.
Yeah, definitely.
We can tell, see the evolution. But I realized that I had like 20 minutes that I'd been doing over and over and
yeah,
over.
Yeah, that's how I felt,
and
too.
Sometimes you just kind of be like, okay, well, I can't use that anymore.
Yeah,
until
exactly.
I got to move on.
Right.
Maybe if I, you know, if I record a special, like, that's done, it's
right.
ready. So
it's different.
Now I need more time.
Yeah.
But people take me seriously sometimes. Sometimes I feel I get the reputation of being like a chauvinist or a bigot or something like this
yeah.
because my I just kind of.
I think you need to talk to people more. I know you don't like that, but I really do.
Who?
I think you need to talk to everyone more so they get to know you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I just come in and I do a show and then I leave.
Yeah.
I'm also very stressed right now.
Because
you know,
you're getting a master's degree. That's
and
really
I
stressful.
I have to Uber drive all the time to
yeah.
make my rent money.
Yeah,
you know?
That is stressful.
But whatever.
My ex-boyfriend Uber drives too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. He does well. You should really
it's not bad.
Increase the time you're doing it.
I know. And especially the, you know, whenever there's an event on, you
right.
get surge pricing,
yeah.
you know. But it is, it's also stressful. Like that thing, it winds me up a lot because
yeah.
people, you know, I'll get to a location and the person will, like, just be getting in the shower. And it's like, motherfucker, it's surge pricing right now. So if you are going to make me wait a half hour here,
are you going to surge price him?
Exactly. So
yeah.
It's always a weird when exactly to start the trip.
You know what? That this brings a great story.
Okay.
And maybe this is why this happened to me. So you can learn this lesson and you can pick it up. I just got ripped off in New York by an Uber driver.
How so?
So I think... So the girl called an Uber, and it must have been taking too long, so she called a new Uber. And it was, like, pouring down rain. I had a suitcase. I needed to get to the next venue really fast to meet with a donor. So when the second Uber pulled up, he's like, yeah, I'll let you in. So he lets me in, and he's like, I'll take you. Don't worry about it. And then he's like, but guess what? It's $100 cash. At this point, it was, like, pouring down rain,
yeah.
and I was like, fuck it. And I just handed that guy $100. Like, didn't even think about it. So maybe you could do that to the person in the shower. You can get him in your car, lock him, and be like, it's 100 fucking cash dollars.
Right, right. Or this is going off a fucking bridge.
Right, exactly. I hope you could swim, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. That happened to me once. As soon as I got in the Uber, the guy ended the ride.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, you know, it's not calculating how
right.
much the fare is. And he's like, oh, yeah, something malfunctioned. Are you going to pay cash? And I was like, well, okay, I guess so. So then we finally get there, and I hand him a 20, and he goes, that's it? I go, bitch, I already gave
right.
you $5
right.
because you immediately canceled.
Yeah.
Now you're hustling for more. I want to give you the fair amount.
Right.
And if I don't know what that is.
Right. That is crazy.
I don't know. That stuff
it's
I
okay.
that I did do cocaine for the first time ever
really?
Yesterday, and I'm.
You
still,
should not do that.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do it anymore.
No,
but I already.
You had too much going on for you to do that.
Well, I.
Do you get that?
I had thrown up. I was very drunk,
yeah.
and it wasn't like it was me. It
right.
was more like my alter
what
ego.
What would your alter ego's name be?
Norbert.
Norbert.
Norbert Festerlong.
That's a really long one. You got to make it shorter. So that people know to be like, oh, that's Norbert.
Yeah, I think
and
Norbert's
not,
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I get too drunk, I just go, okay, whatever, the party has started now, and whatever is in front of me, I will do. If it is a stripper pole, I will dance. If it is cocaine, I will do it. If it is ecstasy, I will take a handful.
Now, let me ask you a question. Why did your accent just change?
Because I'm Norbert. That's what I'm
Fancy's
Norbert.
Accent never changed.
Oh, okay.
You can't do that.
Why can't I get drunk and go to German accent?
Because it doesn't sound good.
I was
good.
An exchange
Let's
student
start that.
When I was a
really?
Kid in Germany.
Yeah, yeah, so was my roommate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She's single.
So I can't.
You want her
Whoa,
digits?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
She speaks German?
She did. I don't know if she does anymore because it's been a long time. But yeah, she did.
Cool. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, that we upstairs, I blew through all my questions.
Yeah.
So now this
oh,
is
okay.
just the aftermath
this is just
of the show.
Aftermath of the show.
How do you fit? You were trying some
so
new stuff.
So I was trying some new stuff. I think I did okay, but I stumbled on a lot of my words, and normally I'm more flowing, and you could tell. I messed up a joke, but I fixed it. I think
yeah.
I fixed it.
I think you never panicked. You were
no,
always
I
like,
didn't.
Okay,
yeah.
well, we're doing this.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell it again, and
yeah.
I'm going to do the setup again,
yeah.
so it'll work this time.
And it's going to be funny here, because
yeah.
it's right. And I was, you know, I was nervous. I haven't really done this set before, and it was a packed room full of comics, man.
Yeah.
And I was really nervous.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, just because this is the first time you don't feel like you're acclimated to
right.
the environment?
Right. That and the set. I wasn't ready for, like, this is the second time I've performed this set.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So I was practicing it. So I didn't really know it. It wasn't flowing for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It happens though. Like I say, it's adversity. And
yeah.
You have to go through that, you know? Like,
yeah.
If you're doing the same stuff all the time, you're not putting you're not scaring yourself. And I think having a fear of failure is like your friend.
Yeah.
You should be scared. You should, like, put, you know what I mean? You should take it seriously.
I'm amazing at everything I do.
But even when you stumbled, you were cool about it. Like, that shows your experience where you're like, hey, some people would be like, oh, shit. And that nervousness is going to make it so it is impossible to succeed,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
You have to just stay there like, no, this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to, because I'm a narcissist, and I have to ask you this question.
Of course.
You said earlier, like, oh yeah, I heard that you bombed a loads of times. From who?
Oh, from Lee Stone.
Oh yeah.
You told her.
Yeah, that's true. I was fucking depressed. Yeah, I was so depressed after those
depressed.
Three bombings.
Yeah.
I called a therapist, you know.
Oh yeah, I have
an
I got one of those.
I got
a therapist, I got a masseuse, I got a doctor that gives me
you
pills.
You got a full team.
Yeah, I got a team
you
that helps
pick
me.
Crew.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Put you back
man.
Together.
Yeah.
Shine you up, get you
exactly.
out there.
I don't wake up looking like this, man. This is a lot of fucking work and a lot of money. That's why I have to continue to do comedy.
Oh, yeah?
It pays for my therapist. And my masseuse when I don't see my therapist.
Oh, man. I want to give a shout out. I got a Groupon. I went to the Hoang Chiropractic Center in Metairie.
Yeah.
What? That was the greatest thing that's ever happened in my
life. Going to a chiropractor who told me I needed to go to a masseuse. He's like, man, you fucked up. You gotta go.
Yeah. But like they put their elbow in between each one of your spines and is like
crack.
And then you feel like
so much better. Like a new world.
But also I feel like when they disturb the muscle like that, it puts like whatever's in your muscles, like heavy metals or whatever, kinda comes out and you kind of like retoxify, so you kinda also have that semi drunk feeling of like, because this is back in your bloodstream, you know?
Yeah, when I really I get really stressed, so I get a lot of tension in my shoulders and my neck area, and I couldn't move my arm. It was I was that stressed out. And she says that your body builds like something around it to help protect the part that's hurting
almost
you.
Almost like a callus.
Yeah,
or a
callus. So like they massaged out the callus.
Yeah.
It was a great experience.
It hurts like
it
a
hurts
son of
like a
bitch.
Mother, but it feels so good at the same time.
Because then your mobility, you know.
And I feel great today.
Yeah. But going back to the therapist, it's like I made an appointment, and then I saw this like therapist at UNO.
Yeah.
And then
I went there.
So he was like, I told him all my problems, and then he's like, "Whoa, I can give you a referral, but like." For what the fucking dog and pony show we have here, like you need
a
special.
Yeah, it's gonna
take a
while.
But then I feel like some doctors are just give referrals and really don't know anything except how to Google someone who actually knows what the fuck they're doing.
Maybe, but maybe you just weren't his cup of tea.
Right.
Yeah.
He was just like,
no.
I don't want to open Pandora's box here.
Right. I'm here to deal with mommy issues and
her
not being here to wipe your ass. That's what he's used to.
Yeah, but I'm too much of like a high maintenance, needy comic.
You're a grad student.
Yeah.
We have a whole classification on y'all alone.
The self-hatred, the narcissism is just a
it just
combo.
Keeps going and going, man. You don't know, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, so what did you get your degree in?
I got my degree in hotel, restaurant, and tourism from UNO. I loved every minute of partying at UNO.
Sure.
D equals diploma. But no, it was a great college. It was right for me at the time, and I have gained the majority of my friends from it, and I would never regret it.
And then you just went right from there to Loyola?
No, I worked for UNO for 3 years. I did alumni relations for them. Mm-hmm. I planned events for UNO. And then we would do out-of-state events, and all of the schools in Louisiana would partner to do those events to make the events bigger. So I would plan those also.
Yeah. So then how did you, when you switch companies, you can be like, hey, I already have this existing contract.
Right.
They give me this. How did you fucking hustle Loyola to get you a better contract, you know? You got to be like, you got to bribe me out of this, motherfucker.
No. I was making like $25,000 at UNO.
Right.
Like, it was right after I gotten out of college, and basically anybody could offer me a better job at that point. I was like, done.
Raising Cane's?
Yeah. Raising Cane's. That was great. Yeah.
So then you just had 3 years experience?
I had 3 years of experience of event planning, doing alumni relations, and Loyola had a position open in their alumni relations department. I had to start back at the bottom, like as an assistant. And then I've worked myself up. I did events as an assistant director for like our major donors, and that was nicer events. And then I switched to fundraising. And then I did fundraising for the university for 2 years. And now my job combines event planning and fundraising. Mm-hmm. So
what are they raising money for?
To keep the university running. Just because you pay tuition, you don't realize how much it takes to run a university. And unfortunately, it's not just with tuition alone any longer.
Yeah.
And in the past, they had a better support system from the state. Unfortunately, because of the lack of money coming into the state, they had to cut a lot of higher education's budget. Also, there's a lower enrollment in students across the board in higher education. Students aren't going to college right after they graduate high school. They're taking time to travel abroad. And so there's a lower enrollment. And all of these take into effect because universities help fuel economies, and so once you screw up that economy and you start into in any sort of way, everything gets kinked out. So I raise money to have scholarships to attract more students. I raise money to keep the lights on.
Right.
And it's a very rewarding job, and you know, when I know that I can help get a student to Loyola, and I know that I can help a student out so they won't have as much student debt, It's rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So are the I'm sure that you have a lot of alumni that are doing good. Like, does Loyola have a it seems like kind of an art school, but do they also have like a law side?
Yes. Yeah. We have an art school, we have a law school, we have a business school. Music industry is very popular right now. That's kind of in the arts, but music is separate. We have a sciences. It's a well-rounded university.
Who are some of the most noteworthy graduates?
Alumni of Loyola? Well, it kind of, I guess, depends on what your view of noteworthy is. In New Orleans, we have the Chief Justice Knowles. She's the Chief Justice of Supreme Court of Louisiana. She's a great woman. We have Morris Bart is one of our graduates of the law school. Who else is another great graduate of Loyola as a whole? Oh, now I feel bad. don't record this. I'd have to go back and research.
It's getting thin.
Yeah, it's getting thin now.
You call those two people every single day.
I hear you're killing it at the
State Department.
No,
so
it's great.
We need these lights.
No, there's
on, right?
More. I just don't feel like dropping names. That's what it is. I don't want you to know who I know.
Oh, you don't want me to have your whole Rolodex.
Right,
maybe
exactly.
I need them to fundraise
exactly.
something for me.
No, you don't need to know everybody I know, because I know everybody.
Now, is Loyola a Jesuit university?
Yes, it is.
Now, what does that mean?
It's a organization within the Catholic Church, and that is the brother. It's a form of it's almost a priesthood and a brotherhood. They're religious order
and like a fraternity.
Priest.
Do you think that there's weird rituals that to get into higher level of being a Jesuit? Do you think you have to like run over coals or hold snakes or something?
No. It's more academic, so it's more years of studying. That's all. That's what basically everything is.
Do they get merit badges?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Do they get like rings on a fucking tree?
Yeah. You get
a tattoo.
They get stripes on their stoles.
Or they cut themselves for every year. That it's hardcore. The Jesuits, I heard. I don't know. I'm very stupid.
Yes, we know. That's why he's studying film, guys.
I know. Any dum-dum can watch a movie and be like, I know everything now.
Right.
I know
I wrote that.
Well, this has been a pleasure.
Yes, it has been.
Getting to know you.
Yes, definitely.
We knew each other in passing at Legends, but this has been
Lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for doing it.
All right.
So December 11th, Stand Up NOLA, the Joy Theater. I'm going to be at the Los Angeles Roast Battle at the Comedy Store December 29th. It's a Tuesday. I'm going against Eric Wargo, and I will crush him. And then I'll get back, and then January, February, March, April, I'm moving the... it's going to be the Istanbul Roast Battle. So Cafe Istanbul is going to host the Roast Battle show that I run here in New Orleans. This has been an episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Allison Hotard.
Thank you, Eric.
Wow.